thousands of bullets, lost judgment. My own sweet time didn't teach what I found. I didn't recognize simple things anymore. I don't wanna be defeated.
Hi, how are ya? Welcome to another installment of the podcast. I am your host, Shane Told. It is so nice to have you for another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome. That's where I talk to other lead singers about what it's like to be the front man or front woman of a band. In this case, of a few bands. We got a great episode this week. I sit down with my buddy, one of my favorites, just one of the best dudes, Donovan Malero of Hail the Sun. He's got a brand new band. They're called Nova Charisma, a two-piece with his buddy Sergio. You know him from all kinds of stuff, too. We talk all about that. They're keeping it in the family. But I heard this EP, wow. And I was like, yo, Don, come get on here, man. Let's chat about this EP, everything you're up to. I know Cianvar, his other band, is done. But Hail the Sun, they're on tour right now. I just saw them. If you want to see a show that will blow your mind, go see Hail the Sun on their tour right now. They are just killing it. And, I mean, Donovan Malero, one of the most talented people. I mean, this guy can sing. This guy can write. This guy can play bass really well, apparently. And he's also a phenomenal drummer. So, Donovan's back on the show. So happy to have him. And, you guys can always get in touch with me. That's something I like to remind you of. And I got to say, the last week, didn't get as many emails. I'm not sure why. I'm not mad. It's less work for me, I guess. But if you do want to get in touch with me, no problem. LeadSingerSyndrome@gmail.com. I read all my email, and I try to get back to everybody, but I do, in fact, fail quite often, to be honest. If you want to help out the show, check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. Donovan Malero, he's a member, actually. So yes, check it out, LeadSingerSyndrome.com/all-access. For as little as $6 a month, that gets you in, gets you the bonus episodes, the bonus content, access to a great community. And if you pay a little bit more, you get some merchandise sent to your house. It's just a really good time. And it is what keeps this show on the air. The show will always be free, but because of those people donating and helping me with their hard-earned money, we're able to do this thing every single week for almost 200 episodes. Man, 200. That is just mind-blowing. Mind-blowing to me. So, other news with me. My band Silverstein, we're in the studio right now recording. And, we're off to a great start. We're going really fast through this. You know, sometimes recording processes, they can take a while. You know, I think the last record, we ended up spending almost twice the time we expected on, you know, pre-production, getting the songs ready. And then just like certain things took forever. This record's going really fast, really streamlined. So I think it's a good sign. And any nerds out there, if they're talking about microphones, and some people like this stuff. Right now, as I record this intro in my car, I am using an EVRE320 broadcast microphone, which is a great mic. I don't know if I'd record lead vocals with it. A mic I do use on this podcast to record these intros sometimes is called a Shure SM7, which is a legendary microphone, broadcast microphone. However, that is the microphone chosen to record the vocals on the new Silverstein album. And it's kind of crazy because we were shooting it out against other microphones, like some vintage Neumann microphones, U47, U87, U67. These are like crazy expensive microphones. Like some of them are like $5,000 or more. And the Shure microphone, you could just go to Guitar Center and you can buy it for $399. It's pretty crazy that the most expensive gear doesn't always win. But we're doing vocals. Yeah, I think we're about 40% of the way done the record. It's really, really exciting. And I think everyone is going to be super stoked on this. The songs are turning out really, really great. Really, really cool. We're doing some cool production stuff. So my boy Sam, he's killing it. So that is what's new with me. I want to thank everyone who listened last week to my talk with Matt McAndrew of Slaves. I don't know if all the voice people came out of the woodwork or something, if they got some keyword search, but we had some big numbers last week. A lot of people tuning in to listen to that episode. And it was a great one. If you missed it, go back. Go back after that and check out the other 190 whatever episodes. And tell a friend. Tell a loved one. If you like the show, write a review on iTunes, preferably 5 stars. Do whatever. Join the All Access Club. That's the best way to help the show. But I really do appreciate all the support. I think we had our biggest month ever last week. So this is really cool, you know, to finally be hitting our stride almost 200 episodes in. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And make sure you hit that subscribe button, whatever you're listening to this on. Well, I think it's time. Let's get into it. Here's my conversation in my car, sitting in my car in downtown Toronto with Donovan Malero of Hail the Sun and Nova Charisma. Emotion, information, callous and unbound. Emotion, agitation, scarring of the soul. Nervous system challenge. Parts of me invalid. In a dream I am guarded. Seems hyperbolic. Sensing what's left to come. I know I'm a loud motherfucker, so it's good. Yeah, before the mics were turned on, I mean, I don't want to say, this is not true, but I like to say this stuff just to, like, piss people off. Like, oh, all the good shit comes out before you start rolling.
Yeah.
But occasionally you do say something interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like, I haven't seen you in a while, and, you know, catching up a little bit and just talking about stuff. And the first thing that we started talking about is co-writing.
Yep.
Which is, I think, something that a lot of, you know, casual music fans really don't know that much about.
Yeah. It takes place in the background, that's for sure.
Yeah, because, you know, the band is the band. People want to think that the guy that, you know, is singing the song wrote the words.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a personal thing. And yeah. The tattoos tell a story, man. You know? But when a lot of times it turns out that that's not really the case, and more in, you know, let's just call it like punk music,
mm-hmm.
These co-writes are taking place more and more.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously been a thing in pop music for such a long time, and
sure,
goes and way back.
Too.
Yeah,
yeah.
But definitely more recently with bands of our genre, are they just getting together, even with other band homies who are in the yep. same scene, and just seeing what comes together when you put two minds, on an idea instead of just one.
Have you done any co-writes, either for Hail or anything else?
We did our first official co-writing session with Hail in July with Curtis Peoples and Dan Whitmore.
Oh, I know that name. Is he a producer?
I think they're both producers, but Curtis worked a lot with Pierce the Veil.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And Third Eye Blind, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And I think Dan, I'm not too familiar with Dan's catalog, but I know that they're kind of like a team.
Right.
So we took some ideas to them and just helped flesh out some basic ideas and melodies. But what we really got from that was it kind of reaffirmed our ability and where we were at in our career as songwriters when we brought something
sure.
in and thought, okay, what can you guys do with this? And from a completely different standpoint, the song that ended up being the recent single that we just released, "Devastate and Recalibrate,"
was already.
There really wasn't. There was almost no amending on that song.
Right.
It's like, this is pretty much there, dude. I showed them the vocal melody I had in mind, and there were a few things here and there in the verses that we fucked with. But other than that, it stayed kind of the way it was, and that was cool.
So much of that, I feel like, can be a matter of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
Absolutely.
when you're working with a producer could, if they wanted to, suggest a change in every single song.
Yeah.
Or probably could just not really make any changes, and who really knows what's better?
Exactly.
You know, and we've worked with both styles of producers,
mm-hmm.
producers that are like, oh no, like this this chorus isn't a chorus and it's a pre-chorus. You got to write another chorus. Yeah. And it's like, well, really? And then, yeah, or like, or you need to cut this B chorus and change it around or,
yeah.
you know, all this stuff. And then there's other producers that literally like say, nope, sounds good. Like maybe we, you know, they're more interested in like maybe the tones right, or the right. sounds
exactly.
Or like maybe changing like a drum. Like, literally, it could be something as simple as, like, oh, well, the drummer's playing that on the hi-hat. Maybe he should play that on the crash cymbal.
Yep.
You know,
we've had that as well. It's such a matter of opinion.
Yes.
It
yes.
really is. And if you're with a co-writer or a producer that shares the same vision, it's easier to get across the finish line
yeah.
with the same types of ideas.
Totally. Totally. I think, though, sometimes, though, and I think everyone's a little guilty of this, it's mm-hmm. like... And I've been really conscious lately, like later in my life in the last, let's say, few years to not do this. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I think, like if you send me a song you write and I'm listening to it for the first time, I'm not going to listen to it the same way that I would listen to like my favorite band song.
Right.
I'm going to listen to it in a way that I'm looking to change shit.
Yeah.
Right. And I think producers do that. I yeah. think that they have to, you have to almost be like, okay, let's not... go into this saying, yeah. okay, what can I change? Because it's almost like, what's my value? If I don't yeah. change anything, am I not good enough? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but when you're talking about bands like you, Hail the Sun's been doing it for 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
10 years now.
Yeah, 10 years.
And all your other projects and all this other stuff you've worked on, you know, when you're bringing a song to the table, you're pretty sure that it's like going to make some sense. It's going to be sensical.
Usually,
right?
yeah, so. That's the whole idea. In fact, it's funny, it's an interesting thing to think of, because what if the producer, let's just say, of My Chemical Romance,
right.
I'm Not Okay, what if that had gotten to the producer in its final stage that we hear it right now? I wonder if it would have gotten changed at all, because the producer would have thought.
Maybe it did, though. Maybe it got changed along the way. Like, we don't really know that.
What if it had showed up, the version that we hear, exactly how it is? What if it came that finished, how we hear it now, and... I wonder if they would have said, this is already perfect, or if they would have changed
That's it. That's the thing. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know, though. That's the thing. And I feel like we've had, with Silverstein, we've done records with producers that are more, like, a little more hands-off.
Yeah.
And a little more like, well, it's your song, do what you want.
Yeah.
And they'll have, like, very minor suggestions. And then we've had, like, guys that want to rip apart the songs. And I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't, it's one of those things, like, it is what it is now, and you can't really go back and change it. So
do you like to be, this is totally, I just popped in my head, do you like to be vocally produced, as in told how to deliver stuff and given feedback? Like, do you like that, I guess, being pushed, as one would say, or do you mostly want them to just cap push the record button on your
No, I like some direction.
Okay, cool. I'm the same way.
I especially like the main thing, and this is totally not, I mean, it's music related, but not. When we do a video, I hate when the director doesn't tell me what to do.
I'm the exact
like,
same way,
tell me
way,
what
dude.
To do. If it looks cool when I raise my arms, tell me to do that.
Yeah.
If like I'm making a stupid face, tell me I'm making a stupid
yeah,
face.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I hate that. And like, I guess that's sort of the same way with singing too, because I'm in the studio, like I'm in, like I have tunnel vision. Like a lot of times I'm in the studio, like I'm just trying to hit the notes, man, and
yeah.
get the words out right. I'm not necessarily at the stage where I'm like looking for that magical take yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're the ones that are listening for that. So mm-hmm. sometimes, yeah, I personally really need that. But I'm different. I feel like you're probably a way more, like the words and the melodies and the pitch for you is probably comes a lot easier than me. I don't know. I'll sing things like 100 times.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do things a bunch for sure. And sometimes I've worked with producers who I'll do something twice and they're like, great, we got it. And to me, it's been edged in my brain that more takes equals better outcome. So I've actually questioned producers before. This happened recently.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, sat me down and were like, you have to trust me.
If
you did this in two takes, three takes, and I think it sounds good, everything sounds great, you're concerned about your pitch, I'm telling you your pitch is great, your delivery is great, just go with it. And that was tough because I'm used to doing things like 10 times. Even though the first take was excellent, I'm like, well, let's just do 9 more just to be safe type
right.
of mentality. And recently I worked with, it was actually Brian McTernan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, who was like, dude, you nailed it. in these two or three, and he didn't use take files for vocals. He like just would comp it right there, and that was it.
And that
almost lit. That was a different type of fire underneath me because I didn't feel more pressure, but it was just strange that he was like, "You're nailing this," and I'm not seeing it a million times, and he was like, "You just have to trust me on the fact that it's gonna come out good." Like I'm hearing it; it's sounding great.
I mean, that's just your talent, I think, man. And Brian McTernan, that's a guy I know Brian very well. He's a guy that's recorded bands for what? I mean, I don't want to say maybe 30 years, but getting there.
Yeah, like, definitely.
He's a guy that's recorded, you know, classic punk records, and he's definitely heard some pretty bad singers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But I don't know, man. I'm still like from the school that, and here's partly why. So I was reading this article one time, and I can't remember what producer it was. But it was like a guy that does like pop. Like he just recorded like Rihanna.
Okay.
Like shit like that. And the interviewer was like some industry magazine. And the interviewer asked him kind of like about how he records vocals. And he says, what I do is I have the singer sing 10 takes of the part, whether it's the line or the, you know, the verse or like whatever. I have them do 10.
Okay.
He says, we don't talk about it. We just, unless there's something like really like off.
Right.
And he says, I did 10 takes and I only listened to like 8, 9, and 10.
Oh,
and I
wow.
comp from 8, 9, and 10. He said, it's always the best takes are always the last three.
Never heard of that.
Because he says that basically the singer, after doing it that many times, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They found it.
Damn.
They're giving it a little bit, maybe extra on some of the parts where they can.
Yeah.
They're more comfortable with it. So I don't know. So when I read that, I'm like, okay, well, I think I should do a bunch of takes. But for me, like, I don't know. I think it's weird because my vocals always come out fine, and you know, of course, like,
yeah, they sound fucking
something
great.
Like pitch. I mean, this people don't know this, but like pitch can be fixed.
Yeah.
Like every record has autotune on
everything,
it.
Everything, dude.
Just because it doesn't sound like T-Pain doesn't mean it doesn't have autotune on it. Mm-hmm. Every record has autotune on it. So like pitch sometimes is, I don't want to say it's the last thing you should be worried about, but it's not as important as this was like when Brian McTernan started recording.
Yeah,
records.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. The energy's there and the performance is there normally, then that's what people prefer. And then just maybe nudge the pitch a little bit.
But yep.
That's the industry secret.
That's the this is why people listen to this shit. Well, that's a big long intro, man. Like 10 minutes of talking about that, but I love that stuff. I'm here with Donovan from Hail the Sun, and also from a brand new band, Nova Charisma.
Yeah.
Two-piece band with you and your friend Sergio, and it's cool, man. This is like, I feel like I love talking to an artist when things are real fresh, real new.
Yeah.
And all you have so far out is one EP on Equal Vision, Exposition 1,
yeah,
correct?
That's it.
And three songs?
Three songs.
And they're all bangers.
Thank you, dude.
As to be expected with Donovan. Tell me how this project came up. And is it partly to do with Cianvar breaking up, I guess?
Yeah.
For lack of a better word?
Absolutely, man. So just once we all had decided that it was time for Cianvar to go on its hiatus or on its way out, Sergio and I still wanted to continue working together. And we work so well together, and we have for a bit. And we'd always talked about, I wonder what it would be like if you and I just worked on something. But it never really made sense because we always had Cianvar.
Right.
So once that had finished for the time being, we ended up doing what made the most sense for the next step logically, and that was continue on with our visions and our musical partnership and form Nova Charisma. And so we did, and it was really cool. To start it, we flew out overseas. We did writing out there. We went to the Shoreditch area of London, and we got an apartment there. We chilled there, and then we went to I'd go back and forth from Vegas to LA with him, and we ended up just it's branded as a two piece, and it was really cool to just have to work with another person, especially someone who was so much on the same page as I. But we also very shortly after started writing with Carlo and our friend Carlo Marquez. He was the old drummer for Stolas. and
yes, Sergio's whole band.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so he would write with us, and that's when we felt like our sound really clicked. It just made sense, and so we wrote a bunch of songs with Carlo, and then we thought, well, why don't you just track the drums for these as well, and like be a part of this?
Which is surprising. Like when I looked at your, I think it was like your Bandcamp page, and it had kind of the credits of, you know, Brian McTernan recorded it, and you did the vocals, and Sergio did the guitars and all that stuff. I thought it was very interesting that you didn't play drums because you're such an accomplished drummer.
Thank you.
And you play in Hail the Sun, you know, in the studio and live too sometimes. So I was surprised. When you guys were writing, whether, I mean, maybe not in London if you're in an apartment, but were you playing drums at all on this?
No, I saw.
It wasn't until you were stateside, I guess.
Yeah, and I really like to perform and write on bass. So this whole time, I've done a lot of bass writing through every band I've been in for the last 10, 15 years. So with Nova Charisma, I wrote the bass and I tracked the bass on that. Mm-hmm. And so what was really cool about that was having a drummer. I'd sometimes have drum beats come to mind where I would voice them to Carlo. But we're so like-minded, we'd be on the same wavelength anyway. So it was really cool to be able to say to do something that I would also normally do, but not having to do it myself on drums. I could just keep the bass guitar on me. And when I write bass, I like to guide songs along with the melody in mind that it's going to be vocal.
You never hear anyone talk about writing on a bass.
Yeah.
that's really unique, though.
Dude, I've
bass is
love
usually
it.
An afterthought, right? You have like guitars and drums, and then you kind of like the bass is. The bass can really be the missing link. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong.
Yeah.
But so much of the time, I feel like the bass is not the instrument you would think of as a writing tool.
Yeah, dude. And I've always written on bass. I love writing on bass because I feel like you can have a guitar lead. If Sergio is doing something crazy, in the case of Nova Charisma, or a lead that repeats, I instantly hear bass lines and I write them down. And in doing that, I can help guide what my melody is going to be mm-hmm. and where the key is going to go. And if there's going to be a key change or what the next progression is going to be, I love doing that on bass.
Right.
So being able to be on bass with a drummer in the room, a very good drummer, and with Sergio on guitar, it was very, very, not fluid. What's the word? Fluent.
Okay.
It was a well-oiled machine.
Right.
So I got to write the bass, record the bass for all of Nova Charisma, and have Carlo drum on it. But it was really the three of us that found that sound.
Right.
And it really worked, and we wrote a bunch of songs together that way.
Have you guys done any live shows?
No.
I've heard you're doing some stuff in line.
Yeah.
Just kind of getting out there in front of the kids.
Yep, on some of the shows, Sergio and I will grab an acoustic guitar and head out and play to the line. And it's crazy because people know the songs already.
Right.
We'll play an old CMR song, and then we'll usually do a Nova Charisma song as well. And people know it, and it's fucking awesome, dude.
Well, this tour is cool. The Mental Knife Tour, which is named after, you know, the last full-length Hail the Sun record, obviously. And your first headliner in a while.
Yeah.
And you've brought out a cool kind of group of bands. And I was talking to Shane, your Shane, not me, to myself, backstage a little bit. And he used the term the family.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a term you guys like talk about? Because I mean, it's very incestuous, these bands. Do you know what I mean? Like
they are.
With I mean, Will, of course, you know, Will Swan with the Blue Swan Records,
yeah.
And Cianvar, obviously he being a part of that band, mm-hmm. also Royal Coda, who's on this tour, and Sergio's in that band, so everyone's kind of together, and I think that's really cool for your fans, because a lot of people just have become fans of the family,
right,
which is kind of a cool way to approach,
yeah.
you know, just putting a tour like this together.
So, and I'm always... I sometimes have a hard time differentiating the business mindset and the artistic mindset. So
right.
I guess in a business sense, the way that we wanted to go about this tour was make a really appealing ticket for Hail the Sun fan. We've done headline tours in the past where we try to bring out different demographics, I guess, of
yes.
genres. And that's not wrong either. It is what it is. And,
right.
and it can work a lot of the time. But for this tour, we wanted to really own what we're a part of and bring out support bands that Hail the Sun ticket buyers are just going to be more stoked on.
Right. It's the synergy, yes, if you will. Yes.
Make it super appealing. And all of us know each other so well. We've been playing in bands, playing in bands with each other for so long, playing with each other's bands since like 2012, 2013. So it's cool to put together a billing that feels like really owning the community that we're a part of and that we've helped to also continue to build over the last 5 years. And it seems to really be working. I mean, people are stoked. The fans who are coming out really, really like the lineup. And it's cool to see something, I guess, the fruits of all of our labor and cultivating a scene that is so diehard and so into it. It's really fucking awesome. It feels good, and I think it was the right move for sure for this tour.
I love it. I love it too. And it's we're sitting in my car in downtown Toronto, and it's like a little overwhelming right now. There's like some strange woman drinking. What's she drinking?
It looks like piss.
And this dude's like just having a smoke, and there's some homeless people over there, and there's a car like looked like it was gonna kill us. Now this guy's standing up. Oh, no, he's just having a seat. He's a good guy.
This is Toronto, man. Guy.
Yeah, we're right in the shit here. Well, we couldn't really do it in the green room because it was going to be too loud when the first band. How do you say their first name's band? I didn't want to say their band name wrong.
On the tour? Vise.
Not Viz.
No, not Viz.
Or Vise.
Yeah, it's a pretty complicated name, even though it's three fucking letters. Vise. And that's Alan, who drums for us. Yes. That's his band.
Yes.
And of course, you know Alan. We've toured together.
Yes, I love Alan.
Alan's a
trip, man.
He is. He's a great guy.
Follow him on Twitter. He's got a great Twitter account.
He's a thirsty dude.
but that's just another example of keep it in the family.
Yeah, dude.
With the tour, I like absolutely love that. Kurt Travis is here.
Yeah, that's dude. Kurt's here.
He's a friend of the podcast. So I absolutely love that. Another thing that you do, in addition to many bands and projects, is you are a booking agent.
Yep.
Which we talked about a little bit on the last time and some of that balance. But I feel like as Hail the Sun is getting bigger, as you're doing other projects, is it getting harder and harder to coordinate this?
That's a great question. No, it's not getting harder, though I just have to make sure to continuously maintain my workflow. And in some ways, it almost is getting easier, especially on this tour. We're in a bandwagon, so we have a driver. And that's been really nice to be able to sleep through the overnight drives and wake up and be able to start to work. I do have an assistant, and that definitely helps
at
the agency. But I think it really only helps because I just build stronger relationships, not only with the people that I'm working with, promoters, other agents, managers, but also the bands that I work with as well.
Absolutely. The police just went by, and I thought they were like rolled up behind us, and I was like, I thought we were going to have to explain what we're doing sitting in the car on microphones here. But
they should really be talking to the girl that's drinking her own piss over here.
Yeah, they don't seem to mind. Oh, I think she's hiding the bottle now. Look, she's hiding the bottle, and she's looking over at the cops. What are they doing, though?
I don't know.
Dude, I don't know if I'm on board with the Toronto police, man. I remember this one story, and I want to talk more about you in a second. But
no, okay.
So my ex-girlfriend, she, good-looking girl, used to work at retail. So they'd get off work like pretty late, like 11 p.m. kind of after the, managing after they shut down the store and stuff. So her and her other colleague, two pretty girls, they're driving in the city. And I guess she's got like a expired tag or something, right?
Okay.
So she gets pulled over, expired tag. The cop comes over, and I guess there's some other problem, like something else, some other issue with her insurance or something, right? Mm. So, it's pretty much a routine traffic stop.
Yeah.
You give them a ticket, and so there the cop goes back to the car, and another cop car pulls up. Cop gets out of the car. Oh, how you doing, ladies? And they're like, fine. Oh, what's wrong? It's like, oh, well, just, I guess my insurance, like, I don't have my new insurance slip in my car. It's like, oh, okay. Sit in the car waiting. Third car pulls up. Cop comes over. What are you guys doing tonight? You guys partying tonight? They're like, no, we're just coming home from work. Fourth cop car. Fifth cop car.
What?
There's cops all hanging out, like, around them, like, showing off, like.
So a different cop comes up to the car again, and this is, like, the third or fourth one that's approached them. And it's like, hey, ladies, how you doing? And all that shit. And they're like, is everything okay? Like, you know, there's a lot of cars here. And the cop goes, oh, yeah, no, no, it's fine. We just heard on the radio you guys were hot.
You know, what the fuck is that? So, of course, the cop lets them off with a warning. And I'm just like, man, that's fucked up. Like, don't they have better things to do than, you know, like, that's messed up, right?
Yeah,
so, I don't know, man. I've never been a huge fan of cops.
No.
I know we have cops listening to this right now, and we have cops. We have cops of the members of the All Access Club. I don't think all cops are bad, but
no.
That kind of shit, man, like... not a fan.
This is definitely a short of a tangent, but it's something like just because you're talking about it, something I feel so strongly about. In theory, and I've written about this, a police officer is a public servant. That's honorable. That's a fucking honorable job to want to take care of your community. Mm-hmm. They work for us. I don't know what the situation is like in Canada, but of course, U.S. has a definite. Oh, this guy's walking up to us now.
No, yeah, he was looking at us. Are they all talking to this guy?
I don't know.
It's weird. I don't know what they're doing over there.
It just like you said. Not all cops are bad. Like it's an honorable job. In the U.S., there's such a it's just the stigma is so bad because it's become more frightening and an abuse of power and making sure that they're protected and their rights. No matter what, if your word against a police officer's word, we even have footage of police officers doing fucked up shit, and they're still not held accountable.
Yeah.
So I'm not, the idea of a police officer, it's honorable. It really is. You're a public servant. You're serving the community. That's great. But too often, the power gets to their head, and it becomes just about them being right more than anything, and intimidating, and getting away with shit.
Well, the other problem, too, is when one cop does something bad and the other cop, they don't agree with it, but they kind of have to look the other way.
That's what I mean.
Right?
Like
because
boys.
There's the right. Or, yeah, or even not even just boys. It's just, that's just like, you don't rat on.
That's what I mean. Like
your colleague, you know, in any,
it's like you're looking out for your kind, but when that happens, no one's held accountable.
Yeah.
And what that's an example saying we can continue doing whack shit and get away with it because we're a coalition and no one's going to rat the other one out. So we're going to keep getting away with shit that we shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
This story, I don't know if you heard it, just happened yesterday, but the cop that went into the wrong apartment.
And shot that
and
person?
Shot the guy.
I just saw that. 10 years,
sentenced.
Right?
Yeah, 10 years.
10 years, dude. Like, they wanted way more than that.
I can't really comment. I don't know all the details of the case.
I can't either. To be fair, I can't either.
But, I mean, I know that like, today they were going through her phone, like, records and finding that she said some things that were, like, questionably racist and stuff. You know, like, when you get into that, it's like, that whole level of stuff, it's like, damn, man, but. I don't know. It
would be tough. To be a police officer would be tough. I admit that. You have to be able to have people flip you off to your face potentially and say fucked up shit, and you still have to be honorable enough to be like, my job is still to defend you as a public servant. That's a tough thing to have to do. I get why it could be shitty sometimes, for sure.
Right.
But I respect the people that really respect the job. I really do. But I've also encountered in my past life some not so pleasant experiences with cops.
Is it time to talk about your past life?
Oh man, I have some wild tales.
Well, I'm sure you do. I mean, you've been pretty open about your battles with addiction in the past. Mm. And I actually read an article you wrote about addiction. You wrote a letter to yourself.
Oh, that's right.
Basically, I think the idea was you were writing it to yourself like the day that you got sober.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was interesting about it is you wrote it on September 28, 2018, which is almost 1 year to the day, because today is October 2nd, 2019.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So it's been a year since you wrote that. And I thought that, and the article, it's on talkhouse.com.
That's
People can probably search for it. DonovanMalerotalkhouse.com if they want to see it. And I really recommend it for anybody that is struggling with any kind of addiction, because even myself and some of the things that I've been through, and I don't claim to be like a full-blown addict. Like drugs and alcohol haven't ruined my life. Well,
not completely anyway.
No, you're
I've had my struggles and stuff like that. And I felt like the things that you wrote were very inspiring, especially the part, the thing that you said about how you're going to focus on music and you're going to focus on business, and those are good things. And then the fact that you are a person that can't drink and do drugs, and there are people that can, but you can't, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and you put it in terms where the whole thing read very positively.
Awesome.
And I really enjoyed it, and I found it very inspiring.
That was the most important. That was probably the hardest hurdle to get over, especially because I turned 21 a year after I got clean. Mm-hmm. So in college, you know, you turn 21, you go to the bars, right, and you party. And for a long time, I really tried to still live a nightlife like that without drinking.
Right.
Sometimes, sure, it would be cool. But having to get past the point of, well, why can't I? Like, that person can do it, so maybe I can. Maybe I can.
Right.
Thankfully, I never really went down that road again. I kept stopping myself, but finally being able to just think, like talking to myself, you can't. You just can't. Like, and that's totally fine. If you do, because every time I would, something would go off in my head. Because I had, before that time, I had my relapse times. I'd be clean for maybe a month or two. I would drink, and I never had a crazy problem with alcohol. Sure, I would use it to the abuse point, but I'd always relapse on the other substances. I'd get drunk and then be like, fuck, you know what sounds good right now? And then go and do it. It always led there.
Right.
I just couldn't do it. But finally getting past that, like, I just can't. That's okay. You're going to be better off for it. Just accept it. And kind of giving, I know the language in recovery groups can be tricky because people are afraid of the word God and giving your will over to God and stuff. I have a higher power that, and on times like that, I had to, especially at the beginning, really practice giving, really letting go of control and just letting my higher power, which for me was the universe, something greater than myself,
right,
guide me. Why was I fighting? I was fucking swimming upstream, making life so difficult for myself and thinking of all the why I can't instead of what can I do. I'm in control of a lot of other shit.
Right.
The Serenity Prayer was a huge part that I still will cite to this day. In fact, last night I was saying it. I mean, there's nothing crazy going on now, but just the whole idea of knowing what you can control, the wisdom to know what you can't control, and knowing the difference between the two.
Yes.
And that still helps me to this day. And once I was able to completely let go of that, piss it to the fucking wind, it felt a lot better. And when I was able to start doing more productive things instead of more self-doubt, and then like thinking why.
Self-destruction.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Or that's what it leads to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been a year. I mean, you wrote that a year
ago.
Has it been a good year? I mean, for yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's been a great year for your career.
Yeah.
like honestly, congratulations with all the stuff you've done. It's been amazing.
Thanks, dude.
But, you know, personally, I feel like it's kind of a good way to mark it. If that was written a year ago, almost exactly to the day.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You can kind of look back and go, okay, I wrote that a year ago. Was that sort of a big step in, you know, my last year and the my journey through this fucking world, you know?
Yeah, well, this year, 2019, I hit my decade mark of sobriety. So that was a cool
thing
to look back. Thank you on everything that has happened since that point. Definitely a lot of pinch me moments. And like, if I were to be the 20-year-old, fast forwarding to where I'm at now and the stuff that's happened, it's been pretty incredible. The year in general, it's been good. I haven't actually thought about that, and no one's asked it. It's a great question.
Oh, well, it's not that, you know, great a question, but glad you're appreciating it.
Yeah, it's been cool. I've been able to, what I've tried to focus on a lot over the last year is growth.
Right.
Not becoming too comfortable. there's things that happen that can shake you to your core, and out of those moments come growth. Forming Nova Charisma was a big part of that, a big part of starting something from the ground up. It's my third real band pursuit. Of course, Hail the Sun's always been my baby. Then there was CNVAR, and then Nova Charisma. Starting that from the ground up was like, let's... It was exciting to have to do it again, but we know so much more about the way that we want to be, the way things work. We kind of have a bigger platform on our own with Sergio and I. I mean, we put the vinyl on sale the first day that we announced the project. We put up a vinyl variant without any music, and they sold out in 24 hours. And that was one of those, like, holy shit, this is a testament to people supporting what we're doing with kind of just our names on it and us being attached to it without having to hear a single note of music. And actually made
me... You should have just changed it all to farts.
I was about to say, it made me fucking nervous because I'm thinking, dude, what if we release this? People will start hitting up merch now like, yo, can we get a refund actually?
We're the fart band.
Luckily, that didn't happen. People seemed still really excited. And that's something like the biggest goal outside of growth as a human, growth as an artist, forcing myself to be in situations that make me uncomfortable because they lead to a different perspective,
right?
A different form of growth. What I want to do is also be able to leave some type of just mark in this scene and whatever I'm doing. I enjoy doing it. That's the bottom line. It's the only reason why I do the stuff that I'm doing is because I enjoy it. It's not for anyone else. But the fact, we're just very lucky that it affects other people in a positive way. And I want to be able to continuously put stuff out that people can relate to or connect with.
Right.
That's a super cool feeling and something I've... back to my high school, junior high school years, that's what I wanted to do, is have an umbrella of stuff that I work underneath that I'm constantly being able to do shit with.
I think that's really, really cool, and I completely believe you when you say that. Like, don't get me wrong, my next question. But one thing that always strikes me about you and your projects is there's a very high level of musicianship on what you do. It isn't simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always, I mean, I'm listening to the new Hail the Sun record. It's like, oh, there's just a random blast beat. That's pretty crazy. You know, and just some of the arrangements of the songs and, you know, key changes that you guys do and just chord progressions you don't hear every day and just different rhythms. And like, that seems like that must be these fucking calls, man. Oh, actually, it's my sister. I thought it was, I'll call you back, Rena. I thought it was like just one of those like fucking robot calls they get all day, every day. Kill me. But, I forget where I was. But, you know, I really think that that's a big part of what you do in almost all your projects. Is that important to you, or is that just the way that you know how to make music?
And are you talking about the musicianship and
the musicianship, the technicality of it? You know, because I feel like I'd love to hear you with an acoustic guitar playing C, G, A minor, F, and see what happens. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I don't know if that's ever going
to
happen.
It's not as important as it once was to be really complicated,
right?
I love playing progressive rock, post-hardcore music. I probably always will, and it's a part of me, for sure.
Yeah.
Anything I touch or do, I feel like it's going to have those roots. But that's what's so cool about the new thing with Nova Charisma, with Sergio, is it felt natural to do something different with him. Him and I have always been on the same level, and we have a very common vision, and we really respect each other's songwriting, and we wanted to continue that going forward, even if it wasn't complicated music. And,
right.
And people will see in Exposition 2, which will be coming out fairly soon, that...
It's been recorded.
Yeah, it's been recorded.
Who did you work with on that one, if you can tell us?
That one was Mike Watts.
Oh, nice.
In Voodoo Studios.
Cool.
He did Culture Scars with Hail the Sun. I built a relationship with him at that point. Then he did Stola's self-titled record. We fucking love him, dude.
So he's more of a familiar guy, because you'd never worked with Brian McTernan before, right?
Yeah, we never worked with
McTernan. It's interesting that you do the first one with, you know, a guy that's more unknown.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd go the other way around, right?
Yeah, yeah.
To kind of get your feet wet as
that
a new
was,
project. But...
That was just due to the available dates, honestly.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think that's why we did in that order, and it happens to come out that way as well in terms of the order we're putting them out. But it's not so chaotic. It's something more that we can sit and bob our head to and realize that we don't need to go full force, but not try not to. Just it was like the natural progression. And I listened to your Daryl Palumbo podcast. I texted you about that, actually.
Right.
He's such a G. But something...
Yeah, he is. I love Daryl.
Dude, he's so good. And
Have you met him before?
Yes. And the thing... One of the things I respect so much about him and his career was he has Glassjaw and then Head Automatica, dude. Like, hits everyone with this pop band that's also so fucking good. And it was a natural
thing. So good
thing.
And still him, right?
That's like exactly what
still,
I mean.
It was amazing that his voice just worked over this,
that's,
like, seamlessly.
Dude, exactly right. He hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
And I respected that. I've always wanted to be able to transcend into different styles. And I feel like with these further expositions, I mean, it'll continue to happen with Hail the Sun too, of course, but with this whole new thing with the different person, where it's just me and Sergio, and of course Carlo as helping to write as well, we were able to do something like that where it still has the traces of us. It still has our characteristics in it. It's just a different take, a different perspective, and it works. We're so stoked on all the expositions that we ended up doing, and we don't have to confine ourselves to just doing fast, chaotic music, even though we love it. We've done it, and we'll continue doing it, I'm sure, but the natural step with the direction that we were going with this just took us into more of a focus on songwriting. And not like, let's make sure we have a 5-4 part here coming up.
Exactly.
It was like, it was just straightforward, kind of on its own. And I think people will like it. I think they'll hear it. I mean, I hope they do. We do. But that's yet to be seen. We were stoked on the first. I think the order is correct. Expedition 1 still a little crazy. It's got its progressive elements. Expedition 2, there's still some progressive sides to it, but it's much more... just driving.
I know.
It feels great.
But music is so interesting like that. And I think I probably speak for a lot of people, but, you know, when I was a kid and I was listening to music, like, I wanted to hear Slayer. Like, I loved Slayer.
Yeah.
And, like, fast, crazy, like, the crazier, the most extreme thing ever. Yeah. And then writing, if I would write with somebody, it would be like, let's just say I'm a kid, I'm writing. It's like, oh, what's the riff? Is the riff heavy? Is the riff fast?
Yeah.
Is it a cool riff? You know, is it sound dark?
Yeah, yeah.
Now I write with someone, and it's like, so what do you want to say? What's on your mind?
Dude.
What's going on in the world? Like, what are you trying to express?
So relatable.
It's such a different, you know. This guy just take a picture of us? It's kind of weird. Okay, well, whatever. Yeah, I think he did.
I think he did.
We should use that as the photo for the podcast graphic. Hey, dude, can you email that to me? it really is true, and how music changes with your writing, but also like music changes with my taste.
Yeah.
Like these days, I don't put on a lot of Sepultura, but I fucking love REM. And I don't know when I started liking REM.
Interesting.
I hated them when I was a kid. now I hear it on the radio and I'm like, oh, this is damn. Yeah, this like, I think it's just like you get old and you just start to like dad rock. You know how much Bryan Adams I listen to these days? I mean, there's something to be said, I think, for maturity coming in and like maybe, you know, it's okay not to fight it.
Yeah, dude, that's such a great way to word it. I've really been trying like to add on to that, to go off of feeling, to go off what feels right, like what feels good creating. Sometimes there's been times where I maybe something might feel a little forced, but I think it's the right thing to do, so I'll do it. I prefer to trust my gut and what it sounds cheesy, but for lack of a better term, your heart. Your heart kind of already knows a lot of the answers and what feels good moving forward and what you should do. It's really being able to take that advice, and even if you don't want to, and move with it. I've been trying to be more aware of that when it comes to songwriting and musicianship. And right now I feel like I'm in a really good spot with both Hail the Sun writing and with the new project writing with Nova. They both feel really good. And when you said, like, in a session, someone might ask, like, so what are you trying to say? That's like the new question. It's not so much what's the riff, it's what do I want to say? What can I say? Even if it's stuff that I may have already said, but just in a different perspective, or something new. And I got to dig sometimes. I really have to dig. Yeah. But with digging, as you know, I mean, you've put out so many records, comes growth. You just, that's the biggest, like, I want to just continue to try to grow internally, externally, as a songwriter, as a musician, as a person. And when that happens, it becomes easier to say the things that I want to say.
Totally. And you're right. And you get older and you get busier. I don't know. There's more responsibilities. Mm-hmm. I feel like 10 years ago, I was so much less stressed. There was just so much going on.
Yeah.
That now, one thing that I've started to do, and I don't like that I do it in, like, when I say it, I don't like it, but in actual practice, it's awesome. Mm. And what I do is I actually schedule time with myself to be creative.
Nice.
So I actually have found that, yes, there are still times when, oh, there's this, like, idea in my head, like, I'll grab an acoustic, or if, in your case, grab a bass. But, you know, like, I'll still have those times, but they were getting fewer and further between, when it was like my mind was getting clouded with, like, oh, well, I gotta do this, like, plumbing job, and then I have to, like, you know, oh, this, like, there's just all these, like, little things. I don't know why I said plumbing. I think it's because I installed a toilet today. Literally this morning I installed a new toilet.
I couldn't
but
do that.
You could. It's really actually really easy. In fact, if you're looking to do some man shit that, like, you feel really good about, a toilet is a great place to start. Like, it'll take you like an hour. It's easy, and, like, the results, like, it's like, this is cool. I shit on this, man.
From scratch, like a brand new toilet, you bring it in.
Yeah, you take the old one out and you put the new one in, and it's actually, you know, it's actually pretty easy. It's a pretty rewarding.
That
experience.
Is some man shit, dude.
Yeah, it's good. Literally, try it at home, kids. Try it at home. But no, honestly, like, when I started scheduling time and saying, okay, like, this block, the same way that you might schedule band practice with other people.
Yeah.
Just, I started doing it with myself. Mm-hmm. Being like, this is time that I'm going to put aside. And once I kind of got over the weirdness of that, I almost, like, I would prepare in my own head for it.
Mm-hmm.
To where I got there, I almost kind of had ideas that I didn't know were there. Just from pre-planning it. That's like a new hack. That's like a new life hack I have. It's like, go do the thing. Confirm the thing.
Yeah.
And figure it out later.
Interesting.
You know, rather than trying to figure every little detail out and then, you know, do it. Just do the thing and then, you know, figure it out as you go. It kind of works.
Are you actually calendaring this? Like, it's like in the calendar? And
That's the whole, I had to.
And so then, what happens if, like, do you have a cutoff or do you just go as long as?
Oh, no, I have a cutoff.
So then if you're, is it usually,
it's important to have a cutoff.
Is it work itself out, though? Or are you ever like, fuck, I'm still really in this right now. I don't want to cut off.
Yeah, like, I guess if in that case, yeah. The same way that, like, with anything, if you're, like, okay, let's say you have a band practice with some guys or, like, a rehearsal and you're, like, it's going really well.
Yeah.
You can stay a little longer, right? You know, that kind of thing. But generally, I would put it in a position where it's like, okay, I have from, it doesn't have to be a long window. It can just be, like, 2 hours, let's say.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, 2 hours, boom, get down to it.
Nice.
Turn your phone off, like, you know, turn your internet off, like, just work, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of a new approach.
That's tight, dude.
I've really enjoyed talking to you about this stuff, man. This has been a bit of a different podcast, but I think something that a lot of people can get maybe a little bit of inspiration from, hopefully, you know, of how you can be more creative in your life. It doesn't even have to be music related, you know?
Yeah.
Just anything that you do.
Yeah.
Or you're passionate about.
Do you ever just, do you go on walks?
Yeah, I love walking.
I'm
a big walker.
Love that. And I live in Alhambra, California, now, South Pasadena, with Sergio. He's my roommate. But the area is really nice, and I like to go out for a walk for anywhere from even 30 minutes to an hour and a half, and mm-hmm. just think, because it's a trip that we have this crazy complex brain that we can use at any time. Some people don't even get to use it. Like, we're so lucky to be able to have that. And I'll just walk and think and walk and think and make notes in the notes app of shit that I either want to do, lyrics, melody idea. I'm sure I look like a crazy person when I'm singing into my phone really loudly over traffic walking down the street. But that's something I like to do, not only at home, but when I come to these other spots, like Toronto. Just walk.
That's the same. Like, that's making time with yourself to be creative. It's the same idea.
It's fucking great.
Yeah.
There's no destination, really. The destination is really just where I started, because I got to circle back. It's usually the venue.
Right.
But that's always really fun. I love to just think. Drive. Same thing with driving. We were talking about that on this tour. We have a bandwagon. It's our first club tour with a bandwagon. It's been fucking awesome. Cool. But there's some of those endearing driving moments that I'm sure it's been a long time since you've had to do.
Yeah, it's been a while.
but those
probably
driving,
14 or 15 years.
3 or 4 a.m., you got a bunch of coffee in you. You're listening nowadays to a good podcast or a band, and just like combing through your mind's file cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's so fucking nice. I do miss that part of it.
The thing I miss most about the van touring and that, all that stuff, is mostly the interaction with the other guys.
Mm.
Because you kind of start to lose that a little bit when you're in a bus or bandwagon, because, you know, it's like, okay, it's time for bed. You go, not even time for bed, and like sleeping necessarily. It's just like, okay, I'm going out in for the night.
Yeah.
You close your curtain and you're in there by yourself, and then you don't really see anybody for like, you know, 9-10 hours until you wake up, and then maybe people are scattered, and then you don't have the same interaction where when you're riding in a van for hours and hours like this, you know,
like we're
sitting in a car this close to somebody, you know, you have interaction, you have conversations, you listen to music together, you listen to podcasts together. It's like I miss that part most, and I think that there's something that can be inspiring about that, but also you might want to, you know, kill each other too after a while, right? That's the other side of the coin.
Yeah. Well, we've been van and trailer touring for so fucking long now that I feel like if that was to happen, it would have. We've luckily gotten over that hump of knowing how to deal with us or each other in close spaces.
Yes.
It's definitely been they're heated moments, but it's still fun. And you guys look like you still have a ton of fun on tour. I mean,
when
we toured with you in the UK, you were out hanging out every single night, just going on, saying what's up.
No, that was a really fun tour. I loved that tour. I know you guys were great too. That was a lot of fun. We really meshed with you guys like instantly.
That was super sick.
So
yeah, it's cool to see.
It was a short tour, as I recall.
Yeah, it was only 10 days each trip,
and it was so bloody cold, and our bus like heat didn't really work.
I
was freezing cold for like the entire whatever 10 days of that tour. It was like horrible, to be honest. It's funny how that stuff like you don't really remember until you think about it. At the time it was awful.
Do the bus companies give you a break when that shit happens or nah?
Fuck no. I mean, if we really bitched, maybe. But I'm like, I tend to get cold easily too. Okay. So maybe it was worse for me than the other guys.
It's just so essential, dude. You're touring in the wintertime. You're going to want, like, that's part of the reason why you have comfort at home. Anyway.
I know. Yeah. So one last thing to talk to you about is the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club.
Yeah.
Because you're a member.
I am, dude. Yeah.
And you are, I believe, no, actually, Steve from Punchline, too. You and Steve from Punchline, I believe, are the only two active musician members of the All Access Club. So thank you very much for your support,
dude,
Donovan.
Yeah, of course.
And
man,
I like that you chime in on the Facebook time to time.
I comb that group. I'll go through that group.
There's
and
some
see
good stuff in there, man.
What people are talking about. Yeah, there is. It's a cool, everyone's really supportive of each other.
Yes.
And that's cool. I feel like a lot of Facebook groups these days are toxic. They're just full of toxic bullshit and dumb memes. But
right.
people love each other.
We have
they're
some
all
dumb memes, but they're most of the time they're pretty funny.
The sinners, they all look out for each other, and that's cool. And they'll like plan to meet up in different cities and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, I love the meetups, and it was cool. Like the last headliner we did, almost every day I met up with a group. You know, we'd have like just like a drink or
oh yeah
or like a you know a cup of water before the gig, and yeah, it was really really fun.
That's
and
awesome,
it's,
dude.
It's been a really uplifting experience for me, and I hope for all of them.
I
so.
Mean, yeah, it's cool to see you build this business and this brand that is Lead Singer Syndrome.
Yeah, it's cool, like, man.
You're on it every single week. You're doing
yeah.
a new thing.
It's good, though. I love, there's so much I love about it. I love the friends that I've met through it mm-hmm. and the relationships that I've, you know, had, and just all the people that email me and say, like, oh, my God, like, I love this. Yeah. I just found your show. Like, where have you been all my life kind yeah. of stuff. And I'm like, you know, they're counting on me for every week for their commute or they're at work
yeah.
or like they're aspiring musicians that want to know stuff like we talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like really cool. If we can inspire somebody to make some great art, music, whatever it is, that's just really cool. So I've really enjoyed this like a lot. So
does it get
but
hard?
Thank you for the support, man.
Yeah, dude.
The $6 a month, hey, it helps, dude.
Does it get hard to stay on top of it on the road?
You or know,
even in general,
I'd say on the road, it can be hard. Some weeks are hard. Last week was hard. We were doing pre-production for a new record.
Mm.
Like that's, and you know, pre-production can be, man. Ugh. So that was
endless.
That was a tough week. Sometimes it can be a little bit hard if I got like a scheduling issue where like someone cancels on me and
yeah.
then I'm like, oh, I got to get an episode up this week. And,
yeah.
you know, sometimes that can be tough. And that, I'd say that like booking of the guests is probably the part that I like the least.
Okay.
Cause it's just, that's just the most difficult.
Yeah.
But I love the conversations and I love like, I even like editing it.
Yeah.
And I like doing the intros. I love, and one thing I really like doing is I always pick the music.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do the song at the end,
mm-hmm.
and I'll do usually do a clip in the beginning
mm-hmm.
That's only like a 30-second clip, and I really sometimes I take a kind of absurdly long time to pick that if it's an artist that I maybe don't know that well,
because yeah, yeah.
I want people to like the music and I want people to check at the guest and I want it to be good for the guest.
Yeah.
So when I have that, I usually try to pick like the most banging chorus
yeah.
for that 30-second part, right? So it's like, so people are like, oh man, this is like really good. I'm really like, you know, this is cool. I want to, you know, interested in this. And then at the end, I try to pick like a song that, you know, people will grab onto
nice.
or a song that encapsulates kind of what the essence of the artist. So
yeah.
those like things that I do, I really, really enjoy with the,
that's
with
awesome,
the podcast.
Dude. Well, I mean, shit, so. It's cool to see you continuing to just keep up at it.
It's gonna
build
be,
it.
It's gonna be tough for this episode what to play because you have so much stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Do I right? Because I probably want to play a Hail the Sun song. No, I think I want to do a Nova Charisma song at the end. Maybe a Hail the Sun song for the beginning. Clip.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That's what I probably got to do.
Yeah, that's the works for me, man.
I don't know, but hey, I'm believe me, I'm not gonna pick it right now, but I'll agonize over it, and you know, it's. Just I enjoy it, and I get to hear a lot of really good music that way from the guests. So,
are there any guests you've had where you've never heard of them until like people are actually recommending them, and then you figure you find them, you're like, holy shit!
Yeah, there's been a few. There's most of the bands at least I've heard of the name.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Just because I'm kind of, you know, I'm in the loop, I'm
right,
in the scene, I'm a working musician, so yeah. It's rare that I'll like never have heard of a band that's big enough that I want to have them on the show.
Makes sense.
You know? So usually, but like one band that I actually had never listened to, this is going back a few years now, but somebody was like, oh, you should have Real Friends. Dan from Real Friends. He's a nice mm-hmm. guy on
Dan's
the show.
Awesome.
So yes, yeah, so I was like, oh yeah, I've like, and I, my like, what I thought that band was and what they are mm-hmm. was like really different.
Interesting.
I was like, and I love them so much. Like
yeah.
right away, I was like, I love their music.
Yeah.
And me and Dan are such good homies now.
That's awesome.
I think he's
going
to be back for another episode pretty soon.
That's cool.
So that'll happen all the time when it's like, there'll just be some band that I'm like, oh, maybe I've like heard of them, whatever. And then I'm like, actually, like this band is sick.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
That's awesome. Yeah. Dan's really easy to talk to also.
Like, I know.
We did
he's a
world
sweetheart,
tour
man.
Very
absolute
open.
Absolute sweetheart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anything else to tell the people? It's almost showtime for you. You got like a... Are you a big warmer-upper? Do you do a lot of warming up?
I feel like I could always do more, but I do definitely try to warm up the voice a little bit.
You're doing a long show, over an hour.
Yeah, over an hour set on this headline tour, which is cool because we don't get to play as many, we hardly get to play the deep cuts that we're playing or as many songs as we want to play. So and I get to do a bunch up front, go to the back to drum some, and then I finish the set up front.
Cool.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's cool. But yeah, I'll warm up for about 10 minutes.
You playing any bass?
Scales. No.
You got to play bass, man.
Not tonight.
I want one bass song.
We have a great, capable, funny bassist,
yes,
John.
Yes, you do.
But with Nova, maybe? Who knows? Maybe one day.
Who knows?
If we can grow separate arms and shit. Because Sergio played keys as well, so we have to grow a third arm so we can play keys live while he plays guitar.
Yeah, man. Well, it's awesome. It's awesome to see you doing so well. And thanks for taking the time and sitting in this
Dude, thank you, man.
I mean, the Queen West neighborhood of Toronto is known for being a little bit weird. So I think this is right. This is right on point.
This was great. I really did enjoy being able to chat. This was fucking awesome. Thanks for taking the time to have me back on the show.
Of course, man. Anytime.
It's a lot of fun. Music lovers.
Yes. All right. Well, hey, well, you know what? Fuck it. Pick a song for a Nova Charisma song. Which one do you want to play of the three?
Let's play Misleading the Story.
Misleading the Story. Here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome. Thank you, Donovan.
Thank you.
He said words known full well were suspect.
So there's music from Nova Charisma. Donovan's new band, and they're killing it. And I know they have a whole bunch of stuff coming out real soon for y'all. So keep your ear to the ground. Just one ear. Not both ears. That would be kind of impossible. But an ear. A single ear to the ground to hear more news about Nova Charisma. And go see Hail the Sun on tour right now with some other amazing bands. It is not to be missed. I love Hail the Sun so much. Thank you, Donovan, for taking the time out of your busy touring schedule to sit in my filthy car and talk to me. That was very, very, very nice of you. Next week, we'll be back. I got two possible episodes on tap. I don't know which one it's going to be, but they're both awesome. So make sure, again, you hit that subscribe button. I do not want you to miss it. Yeah, just go on social media. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter. Hit me up, email, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. Do whatever it is that you want to do. It is all good. I love it. I'll leave you with another tune, Hail the Sun. They got a single out right now. It's called Devastate and Recalibrate. Here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome. We'll see you next week. Peace and love.
Beautiful. I want you to know that I'm scared that you'll no longer want me, and all I request is you hurt me your best so I grow more. Often I need that to grow.
To know that I-